This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It's 7:05, you're with Kelvin and Ayman on the Evening Edition, and we're talking about ending child marriages in Malaysia. This comes after the Deputy Prime Minister, Dato' Sri Dr. Wan Azizah Wan Ismail, unveiled the National Strategy Plan in handling the causes of child marriage.
So under this five-year plan, the government will seek to end child marriages in Malaysia by pursuing several strategies that address the causes of child marriage. And these strategies will look towards achieving a number of objectives, things like improving social protection and giving support to B40 households, improving access to sexual reproductive health education and health services, as well as streamlining laws on child marriages with government policies.
Currently, only Selangor has raised their minimum marriage age to 18 years old, while the federal territories have begun the amendment process. Meanwhile, some states like Sarawak, Pahang, Terengganu and Kelantan disagree with amendments to their child marriage laws, so there remain some challenges in the efforts to end child marriages.
Yeah, and I think the challenges does come really in the form of perception, right? The sort of taboo speaking about sex and sexual health with your kids, which yeah. I think is one of the things that stood out for me in the plan. There is a plan to provide more training and upskilling for parents so that they know how to speak about sexual reproductive health with their kids, talk about the birds and the bees. And I think this can be really helpful in terms of eliminating that taboo, and being more open and constructive about these issues can go a long way in terms of reducing child marriages and eventually ending it as well.
Yeah, you can find you can find the executive summary of the plan actually on the Women's Ministry website. And what you find, I think, looking at it, and this is my take, is that it really does cover a lot of bases. As you've pointed out, Ayman, it really tries to address some of the main causes of child marriage. That includes the lack of awareness, that includes speaking to family members, removing the whole stigma that surrounds sex and marriage. Also, the fact that poverty also plays a factor. They're looking at that through training and entrepreneurship opportunities for parents in the B40 community. They're trying to provide allowances to students from the B40 community to go to schools. So it is from an overall point of view, quite comprehensive, right? And I think the challenges right now, I think it's mainly likely about mindsets. The ball is really in the parks of state governments, right? Because, there has been civil law which already places the minimum age of marriage at 18 and also makes it compulsory for those under 21 to seek permission from their parents to get married. But right now, I think the main challenge is under Islamic law, which is under state jurisdiction.
And I also think the way they implement it as well will be key.
Plans are great. But
yeah, exactly. When it comes to plans, everything is fantastic. You've got a plan for everything. But at the end of the day, if the execution, if the approach isn't that great, then it won't mean anything. So, it depends really how much resources, both financial and human resources, that will be put into implementing these plans. But from the looks of it, they are looking towards, collaborating with multiple ministries, NGOs, international organizations as well. So hopefully that can, help a lot in terms of, achieving the objectives in the plan.
Yeah, really it's just a holdback from some of the states. And I think we've seen how, despite some of the efforts by the national government, it hasn't quite materialized yet. So perhaps it is also trying to create, in terms of awareness, a general sense of understanding of what entails the impact of putting a child through the entire process. And then having parents, having teachers, having village heads and all that push the government to act, push local governments and state governments to actually start acting to make those changes so that it doesn't quite fall into that same the same cycle again, because it can get quite repetitive, right? And we also see that there are moves to actually provide support and help to those who have been able to get into to provide support for those who are in those marriages to be able to later pick up skills to learn how to survive on their own, because this plan essentially touches on the before, the during and the after, trying to solve as many problems and issues related to child marriage within those three time frames.
Yeah, and the importance of data as well, which is highlighted in one of the yes. strategies in the plans. They want to gather data on both marriages and divorce rates when it comes to child marriages. And I think this will be key in the future in terms of like understanding who is that is mostly affected and what can be done in order to, you know, reduce the incidences of child marriages in Malaysia. So, the importance of data cannot be understated, really.
After this, we will be speaking with Shamila Sekaran, chairperson of Voice of the Children, for her thoughts on this story. We will be back right after this. You are listening to The Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
BFM 89.9, The Business Station.
It's 7:11 on The Evening Edition with Kelvin and Ayman, and we are talking about the government's latest plan in trying to end child marriage. It's called the National Strategy Plan in Handling the Causes of Child Marriage. We're going to dive a bit deeper into this story together with Shamila Sekaran, the chairperson of Voice of the Children. Shamila, it's great hearing from you.
Hi, good evening.
Do you think 5 years is a good time frame to aim for the end of child marriages in the country?
Well, yes, 5 years is definitely enough time for us to get on the path. It'll be good if we can actually end child marriage by then, but at least if we've made a significant progress, even if we don't end child marriage completely in 5 years, we will start children a great service in terms of getting us on that path.
So who are the main stakeholders who have weighed in on this plan, and would their continued involvement be an important factor for its success?
Definitely. So the ministry has actually sat down and had meetings with a whole variety of stakeholders from other ministries and departments within those ministries, with concerns with religious bodies and authorities, regardless of whether they are Muslim or non-Muslim religious authorities, as well as the non-profit organization CSOs. And the involvement of certainly most of the key ministries and departments, as well as the heads of the various religions within the state, are important. There's also another key factor that they really need to consider, another key stakeholder, and that's the parents and the village heads within certain communities. But that, I think, can be the next step when they actually gather data and they know exactly where the hotspots are, where the communities where majority of the children are getting married at an early age. They can then go in and do very strategic awareness and targeted work in those communities with the heads and the parents.
So we have this message here from Kamarul Nizam that says, please go one better than banning child marriage. Please educate our children from having sex before getting married, even after reaching 18. Having sex before 18 is illegal anyway. Why stop at illegalizing child marriage? You know, what are your thoughts on this, Shamila?
Well, you know, child marriage actually takes away the childhood from a child. You know, various consequences to that. So child that we need to address. But, you know, one of the things within the strategic plan that the government has put in, or the ministry has put in, is sexual reproductive health. And I think that's what your caller is referring to. With sexual reproductive health, we're actually teaching children how to be safe, how to say no, the consequences of having sex, because a lot of them don't know this. So I think with that, you're also teaching children how to protect themselves into adulthood. You know, you don't unlearn stuff like this. So sexual reproductive health does not stop with say no until the age of 18. What it says, what proper sexual reproductive health education actually teaches, is the entire, you know, how your body works, what are the consequences of having sex, you know, everything.
So Dr. Wan Aziza has mentioned different initiatives that already exist within her ministry under a few agencies aiming to combat this issue. Have you seen the effects of these initiatives?
Not really, I have to be honest. I think the initiatives are at a very low level and we've not actually seen any change. The good thing is, though, is that they're actually talking about it, that they've come up with this plan. So those are some initiatives which I think will take root and will have effect.
Now, states such as Sarawak, Pahang, Terengganu, Perlis, Negeri Sembilan, Kedah and Kelantan have disagreed with the legal amendment to child marriage laws. Do you foresee potential backlash and pushback against this recent plan as well?
No, because, you know, if you look at the taxes or the drivers for child marriage, they go beyond just dealing with religion and religious practices. They actually deal with issues of poverty, of education, of giving children alternatives. What the plan does not necessarily lay out, and maybe that's, you know, in the subsequent kind of rolling out of the various factors or drivers, is the reason why some children indulge in early sexual activity. Part of it is actually a way of taking control of themselves, of their body. So I'm hoping that through the process of teaching them sexual reproductive health, the process of giving them education, of ensuring that children do stay in school beyond primary education into secondary education, and, you know, we're talking about TVET as well, that the entire process becomes a little bit more streamlined, which will then give children alternatives to hopelessness, which leads to the activity which leads to child marriage.
One of the factors listed in the plan was regarding stigma and social norms on child marriage. So changing norms and attitudes, especially long-standing cultural ones, always seems to be a difficult thing to do. So how do you think this can be done effectively?
Absolutely. You know, this is why they actually need to do a lot of data collection. At the moment, the data is not disaggregated. It's not only state data that we need, but also right down to district and village data. The information on how many children are getting married, how many of those marriages are actually lasting in, you know, into adulthood and old age, basically. How many of them are ending up in divorce, how many remarriages, how many divorces and remarriages a single child goes through having been married early. All those are factors that we really need to look at and data we need to collect so that we can, you know, break it down and know which communities, what the social norms are, what the traditions are. At the moment, we talk about these things almost as if they're homogeneous, which they're not. So different communities may have different pressures or different norms leading to child marriage. But until we know and understand what they are, it's very, very hard to change the mindset leading to this. It's also very important for them to, for the ministries and the ministries and departments to actually work in and with the communities. So having a champion within a community, a national champion, is also important in terms of addressing some of these issues. And very often we find that, you know, parents, in particular the women, mothers and grandmothers, have gone through something. They may not have liked what they went through as children, but they impose it on their daughters because they don't know how to say no. They think it's the norm that, you know, we just have to go along with it. They don't know how to break that mold. Having champions who do break the mold, because there are always these champions within smaller communities, but finding them and kind of like elevating them a little bit so that they can then go into other communities where people want to break the norms but don't know how to or are afraid to, and supporting them within their communities would actually lead to changing mindsets a little bit faster.
Right. Though I think right now that the question is also whether or not where should that priority be placed, right? Is it more important to perhaps get buy-in from the different states or to focus on the mindsets of the grassroots?
I think you need to do both. Personally, you know, when we look at Malaysia, it's actually very patriarchal still. If the Sultan says something, like the Sultan of Selangor gave an order, made a decree, and then everything follows. So we are very patriarchal. At the same time, the Sultan is the head of the religion. But he does take guidance from the Mufti of the state as well. So it is important to get not just the Sultan's buy-in, but also the Mufti, or the head of the religion. Well, I mean the advisor, not the head. The Sultan is the head, but the advisor for the religion. But within that context, you also, like you said, have the headmen, who are also very powerful. and the imams, you know, within the local community. So really what needs to happen is there needs to be something which is driven by law or by decree, but that in itself is not going to change things on the ground. If at all, it is push things further underground. So I think it's also important for them to come out with a moratorium that, you know, child marriages, while they're saying zero tolerance to child marriages, that the idea is that in 5 years we're going to move in a particular direction before, you know, it's a lot of people are talking about criminalization. That has not, that is not apparent from any of the strategic plan, which is good. Because what we want is to come along with us on this journey and not to impose penal sanctions and to force people in a particular direction without the mindset change. So I think really it needs to happen, both need to happen at the same time.
So now that these strategies have been laid out, what do you think can be done to ensure that implementation is done as well? Is done really well?
This is a $1 million question. So from what I see, we seem to be doing really well at launching stuff, but our closure seems to be much to be desired. You know, really, again, following the way our political system works, we really, really need this to be driven from the top, which means ministers, deputy ministers, TPSUs, everyone needs to say zero tolerance to child marriage. Only then will civil servants work in the right direction. Because otherwise, other things seem to get in the way. So we do need that very serious direction. And we saw the kind of that kind of leadership from the Prime Minister, because he was the one who said, we need to end child marriage, federal territory needs to be, which is to a certain extent. So, but we need to see this and hear about it much more. There also needs to be a lot more teaching, awareness, education within the social services, because when we hear things like, you know, making excuses when child marriages happen, when we see situations where perpetrators, where people have perpetrators in terms of adults getting married to children, are being allowed to get away, and it's only with NGO pressure that there is a prosecution, the prosecution is seen through to the end, you know, it leaves a bad taste, because then it shows that as a nation, we're not against child marriage. We're only doing this to pacify the loud voices from the NGO. So we really need to see a very concerted effort that if an adult gets married to a child, it is classified as statutory rape, regardless of whether a marriage happens subsequently. It is classified as statutory rape, and the person is prosecuted to the full extent of the law. We also need to see situations where excuses are not being made for child marriages. So the reality is that those kind of marriages, the adult with a child marriage, is not all that common in comparison to the similar age marriages. And those need to be handled differently through awareness, through capacity building, through changing of mindset.
Shamila, thank you so much for speaking with us today.
Thank you so much.
That was Shamila Sekaran, chairperson of Voice of the Children, talking about the government's latest plan in trying to combat child marriage. It's called the National Strategy Plan in Handling the Causes of Child Marriage. You can, of course, find the whole document, the whole plan on the Women Ministry's website. And if you have any thoughts, you can send that to us. You can WhatsApp 018-789-8899. You can tweet us at BFM Radio. You can also call 7733-2900. You are listening to the Evening Edition, BFM.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my. BFM 89.9, the business station.